You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto, and we are glad you are joining us today. I am on fire. Art Factor, how are you doing?
Dotto's data.
Dotto. I'm a professional. How are you doing, Art?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. We've got lots going on. We got a busy show ahead of us. We're going to be talking social media camps. We're going to talk about Samsung. They got a smart school initiative. We've got workshops that we're going to be talking about. We've got lots of cool things to talk about this week.
And we're 7 days away from a beer and wing tweet-up.
Oh, yes. The first kind of get-together for the DottoTech, which we've ever done. I don't think we've ever done a public event where we said, come on down. But next week, after App Wednesday, which we're doing live, we are all heading down to the Hudson Pub, and we're inviting people to drop by and join us. If you drop by our website, you can register. Please register so we can tell the people so they can earmark enough room for us at the pub. But it's a beer and wings night.
Will we need more than one table?
Yeah, so far we've got like 15 people registered.
Holy
moly. But it's good people so far. At least the ones that I know are good people.
Okay.
They're good folk. Although one person registered twice.
Was that me?
Yes.
That's because you spelled my name wrong.
I didn't spell your name wrong. Somebody spelled my name, your name wrong when you registered.
I don't think it was me.
Well, obviously you did it. But we're, yeah, so please, come on down. Come see us. We got John Beeler, Dave Hathaway. Rebecca Bull was supposed to be there, but I just got an email from her. She bailed.
Oh.
I know. But we're going to backfill her with somebody very cool. A guy from Hootsuite's joining us.
Oh, nice.
And he's bringing gear. He's bringing stuff to give away.
Well, I'm excited for two reasons. One, I'm going to dethrone Mr. Beeler on his, 3-month run of winning App Wednesday?
I know, it's just 2 weeks, I think.
Okay, two
month
months,
run. 2 months, yeah, 2 episodes. Yeah.
I'm going to take back my crown, and I am going to try perhaps even to challenge him in a hot wing eating contest so I can beat him twice in 1 week.
I don't know if Beeler competes eating hot wings.
Well, I will try.
You can give that a shot. You could also go up against me with that if you think that your Filipino taste buds can beat my Italian taste buds.
I'm in. Anyone who wants to challenge me.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
I won a Seattle Seahawks jersey 7 years ago by eating hot wings the fastest.
Really?
I did.
You know, that seems to me to be a dangerous participation sport. Because I watch those hot dog eating contests, and I think somebody has to choke at some point. They must have Heimlich experts at these things.
You would hope.
And big suction machines.
They would have to have, or a bunch of really talented and skilled, but multiple ones, right? Because if one person chokes,
another person chokes because the person's choking, they get all freaked out. Yeah, it could be bad. It could be bad. Hey, I know that you say it's old news, but I've been watching this Walking Dead thing.
Okay.
And
you still haven't finished?
No.
I'm
3 episodes from the end of the season.
Okay.
But you know what's bothering me is why I watch apocalypse movies like a meteor crashing into the earth and they disturb me. They kind of go, oh, that'd be bad, that'd be really bad. But when you watch, what is it about zombie apocalypse movie or shows that you watch and you go, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, because you figure there has to be some sort of solution, like an asteroid hitting the Earth, like that's
bad news.
Yeah,
we're done.
I don't want to have to live in a cave and start a fire with two sticks for the rest of my
life. And you're not even that. Yeah.
A zombie apocalypse, you could eventually, they will eventually
it's
die
like a
out,
game. It's
and
like
you
can
start over again.
Well, it's not even the starting over again. It's just figuring it all. I don't know. There's just something. It's like, damn, that's cool.
Oh, and yeah, being able to take an axe to some.
See that there
the
is. Well, this is what concerns me. Is what part of my psyche is this appealing to? And I'm not sure it's a place I want to go.
It would also be a great weight loss kind of episode to live through.
Yeah,
right. Because you're running and
yeah,
you're foraging
and you're fear all
for
the
food.
Time. Foraging. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're eating all sorts of.
It'd be great. It would be.
Don't say it would be great, Art.
It would be an interesting.
I don't
challenge.
Think a zombie apocalypse would be classified as great.
It would be an interesting challenge.
We are a technology show, though, so we should fill people in on the technology. Not only can you come to our website to register for the fun beer, the beer and wings night to meet us all, and please come on down and enjoy some good fellowship time with us next Wednesday night. We also have a giveaway. We're giving away a copy of Microsoft Office 365, so you can register there. And also, we are now starting to take registrations for the next series of Protectivity workshops, which we have. We have the next one booked for. We're doing it in North Vancouver at the Hollybrin Club.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of swank.
Fancy.
It is. It's fancy.
I think I DJed a wedding there many years ago during my school.
It's a nice club. I've spoken there a couple times. There's been events that I've spoken at up there. It's a nice space, and it's lots of surface parking, and it's going to be a. We've got the great lineup for the workshop. We've got a couple of. We've modified the content slightly, but it's still all about personal productivity, getting the most out of your devices. So it should be good. So we're going to be doing that, and that's May 23rd. So it's 6 weeks out. You still got lots of time, but. Take advantage of the early bird tickets, because we have early bird tickets available. And if you're like Art, make sure you spell your name correctly if you don't want to be like Art, so that you don't have to register twice. Although I will take your money twice if you want to give me money twice.
You're just asking for some sort of insulting comment during the show.
Oh, I'm sure that is in the works already.
Practice.
May 6th to 8th in Victoria is Social Media Camp, a gathering of all people interested in the increasingly wide world that is social media. Chris Burridge is the director. He's put the whole social media camp together. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing excellent, Steve. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. So you're starting to get a little anxious. It's getting close. You're down to the final stages before the camp actually gets going.
Yeah, I started to get the butterflies yesterday. The 4 week before anniversary, I saw someone tweeted, said, "Hey, 4 weeks to go till social media camp." That's when I started to get nervous.
And then you look at your to-do list and go, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do?" So now,
yes and no. There's still tons to do, but now in its fourth year, we've got a good system in place, and we've got a lot of great people in place. So it's getting easier and better every year. But I don't know. I still want it to be the absolute best it can be. So I always get nervous right up to the kind of minute before it launches.
Well, this is a significant event. I mean, happening in Victoria there, it's a great opportunity for local people in Victoria and people in Vancouver also to come over, take in 2 days, getting some really sage advice from a really top-notch roster of speakers. I'm looking at your list of speakers here. You got CC Chapman and Marie Smith, and you've got James Stein, and you've got a lot of real social media icons presenting this year.
Yeah, that's been one of the cornerstones of our success, and one of the things we kind of hang our hat on is that we get the creme de la creme, the very best in the business, and we make sure that we've got that covered every year, because we want people to get top-notch learning. And we also have a lot of local folks as well, but we make sure we have the very best speakers that we can get.
So the keynote speakers are a big part of it, but the workshops are really the heart of Social Media Camp, are they not?
Exactly, yeah. So we have three keynotes every year, but in total there's 55 or 60 different sessions. So the keynotes are great because it really gets people excited. There's great stuff to learn. They impart lots of stuff, but you're in a room with 800 people. That's great. But then for the rest of the time, you've got all these opportunities to do smaller workshops with 8 or 12 people, or a learning pod with maybe 15 or 20 people. We've also got a couple of new things this year, so exclusive sessions with the two keynotes, with Mari Smith and CC Chapman, where you can have a smaller, intimate lunch setting with Mari and then just kind of pick her brain or get feedback on your social media strategy and stuff. So, everything from the big keynote right down to the very personal and hands-on style of learning.
So you've got a lot of it sounds like you have a kind of mid-range sessions as well that are not quite keynotes but are larger presentations that are happening.
So there's the keynotes, of course, and then there's other kind of featured speakers, which are smaller rooms, and they will focus on either a particular tool or a particular slice of the industry. So tourism, for example, we've got a whole stream just about what's called social HR, human resources, or the social workplace. So we've got some of the best in the country talking about how to use social media and how it affects the workplace and HR-related issues. Or if you're a nonprofit or you're a blogger. So it kind of slices across all tools, industries, and levels of learning as well. So the schedule, again, this year is color-coded, so it identifies everything from beginner to intermediate to advanced user.
Okay. Now, you always add a few extra different layers. There's always a bit of music attached and that sort of stuff. So what's the plans in the off time?
Yeah, so every year, like I said, we try to make it bigger and better and more exciting, and we have a few surprises in place. But one thing we've done this year is we've extended it from 2 days to 3 days. So the third day, so the full content days are the Tuesday and Wednesday, May 7th and 8th. May 6th, we've got sessions happening at the Strathcona Hotel, which is just kind of kitty corner to the conference center. And so there we're going to do a couple of sessions that are geared towards getting the most out of the conference. So you can come there and find out, get help on which sessions to attend. And then there's going to, again this year, there's going to be the coaches. So we have 10 coaches, social media coaches. We're going to assign 10 people per coach. So there's availability for about 100 people. And that's where you can meet your coach. You can tell them a little bit about yourself. They can understand your business, and they can help you determine which of the 60 sessions are the best fit for you. And then through the course of the 2 days, you can check in with your coach, and they'll answer questions for you about certain things that come up. They can guide you to the right sessions and so on.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that we've got going on. And then, of course, there's a big party on the Monday night. We've got a big pre-event networking party at the Strathcona.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And I think I might pop over for that. And you've also got the next night, though, is the absolute highlight of the entire event is the second night, right?
You've got that right. That is the highlight of the 2 days. It's called the Social Media Awards, which is now in its third year. And we've got nominations from across the country. There's been 80 different companies and individuals nominated across 9 categories of awards. And this year, we're super stoked to have Canada's famous geek hosting the awards for us.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. Go ahead, Art. Who might it be?
Is that the guy from the movies? What's his name?
No.
Saltzman?
Mark? No, it's not Mark Saltzman.
Am I running for you? Is it Steve Dotto?
Yes. You son of a... Yeah. And you know what? And you know what we're going to be doing? I'm going to be doing the rest of the times. I'm going to be interviewing producers for the production job on Dotto Tech. Good heavens, Art. You knew it was me.
Oh, of course I knew.
Yesterday. You were just joshing us. I'm looking forward to this. I've looked at the list of companies that have been nominated for the awards, and it's going to be a fun evening. There's so much great social media going on here in Canada, and you've also got the job the judges have to do to determine the winners.
Yeah, that's we've got an outstanding lineup of judges as well, and we're all very grateful to them for giving of their time and energy because, yeah, there's 80 nominees which are sitting with the judges now, actually. I've been talking to some of the judges, and their job now is to go from the 80 nominees down to a short list of up to 5 for each of the 9 categories. And then after that, then they've got to look at the shortlisted in each category and then come up with a winner in each category. So they've got a tough job ahead of them.
And this is not a popularity contest. This is being judged by a small select group of judges.
There's no voting or anything like that involved. It is strictly 100% independent. There's 8 judges. You can see who they are on the website. So ranging from people like Julian Smith, who's a world-renowned social media author and was one of our keynote speakers at the first social media camp, to C.C. Chapman. Bob Fine is the publisher of the Social Media Monthly magazine, Todd Maffin, Sean Moffat, et cetera. So, yeah, there's folks from across North America, all completely independent, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking on the list. Two of the judges have been guests on the show. We've also had Angela Crocker, who wrote the Creating a Social Media Network for Idiots book. So she's
awesome.
Also an
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Angela has been a friend of the event for many years. I think she was a judge last year as well, and I think she's spoken a couple of times.
Good.
So we're most grateful to Angela as well.
So when you talk to your alumni, do they get the most out of the camp from the sessions, the keynotes, or do they get the most out of just the networking opportunities of meeting so many other like-minded people?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because it really is a bit of a mix depending on who you are and kind of what level you're at. But certainly there's a lot to be gained from just attending any of the sessions. But every year, I really love hearing those stories about the networking and who somebody has met. So either they're meeting people in person for the first time that they've been tweeting with for years, for example. Mm-hmm. There's always that. But then every year, there's a couple of businesses that just connect. They find out they've got some complimentary services. They talk further, and then, you know, there's some deal made. Or there's a great example of one of the friends of the event, Don Power from Nanaimo, where yep. he ended up meeting the CEO of Sprout Social and ended up getting a job. That was, three or four years ago now. Yep. He's the editor of their blog now as well. So stuff like that happens every year. Yeah.
So the social media camp is May 6th to 8th in Victoria. You can find more information at socialmediacamp.ca. I will be there. Art will not. and I'm looking forward to it. I think we'll chat once more before it comes down. But it's certainly you're expecting somewhere around 700 attendees. So it's just going to be really interesting experience.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it, and we can't wait to have you there as well. And it's going to be a great 3 days. It's going to be exciting.
Thanks, Chris. That's Chris Burge from Social Media Camp in Victoria.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me now, as he does most weeks, Julian Saunders from London Drugs. How are you doing, Julian?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Now, last week you started on your top 10 must-have items for tablets and smartphones, and we only got through five because they were so darned compelling. So you got five more super compelling must-have things for smartphones and tablets for me.
You got it. Yeah. The styluses aren't just inanimate sticks sometimes. There's a couple of bigger styluses that have Bluetooth in them.
Okay.
Adonit, the guys who make the Jot stylus, have one that's pressure sensitive. And it's used for when you're designing, drawing, photo editing. It has a USB charger base that you plug into your computer or your USB charger for your tablet, and gives you pressure sensitivity just like you do on a Wacom tablet.
Now this is Adonit. So we're talking styluses for smart for pads, especially for I guess for the Android tablets and for the iPads.
You got it, yeah.
And now this product that you're talking about, is it shipping? Because I'm looking at it on their website, and they're telling people they can pre-order for it, that it hasn't. It looks like it might not have shipped yet.
We have stock of the Adonit Jot Touch Stylus in gunmetal.
Oh, really?
So depending on color, it might not. It's been
okay.
out for, they might have a new revision of it coming. But if you check londondrugs.com and you search for Adonit, A-D-O-N-I-T, there's some that don't have pressure sensitivity. Those ones are regular price, $34.99. And then there's one that's the pressure sensitive with Bluetooth, and that one's $99. It's $100, $99.99.
Got it. And that's the touch version. Okay. And so that's essential. And there's a lot of really wonderful apps that support the pressure sensitive tablets, styluses quite nicely. So that's cool.
Yeah, a lot of people using them for art love that one. We also have some that are the DaVinci stylus for brushes. We've got the whole Wacom lineup, including the new little 2-inch tall ones. So if you're looking for a stylus, we have a lot to choose from.
There you go. And having a good stylus makes a big difference working on your tablet as far as precision and stuff goes. Good enough. Okay, what's next?
The Transcend Wi-Fi SD card. So there's been a couple of different wireless SD cards out there. Now, it might require a little further explanation, but what this is just a secure digital card that you would usually put into your camera. It's got its own wireless card inside of it, though. So you plug it into your camera, and then it beams out a small wireless network that you can pick up on your tablet or smartphone, and it will allow you to wirelessly transfer the photos from your camera directly to your device.
And that's pretty cool.
And it works. It actually works flawlessly. Once you have it set up once you've done a one-time app install and there's a couple of security things you do, it works perfectly. So you could be taking pictures while somebody else has your tablet that's posting them to the internet.
So that, and that's the 32 gig version I see you have on your website for like $90. And so what does a normal 32 gig SD card cost? So what's the premium?
Depending on the promotions, the regular prices for a good 32 gig, the same speed as that one's about $65. So you're spending about $40 to make it Wi-Fi.
Got it. That's a cool application, and it does work really well for field photography, for sending the stuff straight to a tablet or a notebook for being able to work on it. So you could have, if you're at a sporting event and you have a writer and a photographer, the photographer's taking pictures, the writer's working on the notebook, they can be posting a live blog with those pictures flowing through. Without having to take the SD card out of the camera. So the person could be, 20, 30 meters away and still be sending the images through. So that's very cool product.
Well, and it's you could use it, too, in a situation where maybe you've got somebody with an iPhone on them, a couple of Android, and say you're at a big event like a wedding. You could take some pictures with your wireless SD card, and everybody could tune in with the Transcend app to your card.
Oh.
They could all be using the photos.
And right be sharing the photos right away. Very cool. That's a neat idea. Okay.
The other one that a lot of people neglect is cleaning your tablet and your phone.
Yeah? Don't you just dunk it in the water?
No, or get the Windex out. That's always good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways that you actually clean your digital camera. That's the little trick that I use. Is I have a little lens cleaner that I have attached to my bag where I keep my tablet and my chargers for my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very inexpensive. They're about $5 to $10. We have different styles and colors to fit everybody's taste. And mm-hmm. It's good not to use just paper towel or a Kleenex or the back of your shirt, depending on what kind of a screen protector and a case you have.
Mm-hmm.
So a good little microfiber cloth is indispensable and very affordable. It can really save your device from little scratches that will get in your way, and you can see them all the time. On today's touchscreens, you really don't want a little scratch there. It's very annoying.
What percentage of customers do you see that are taking their smartphones or their tablets and putting those clear protecting sheets on them?
I'd say about half of mine. A lot of them are used to them from over the years. There is a very, very strong coating on tablets and smartphones these days, especially the more expensive devices. Gorilla Glass is on most of them, and you need to be you need to have keys or need to be somebody that wears big rings with diamonds on them almost to scratch them to a really serious degree. But you can easily scratch them with the wrong kind of material, like a little bit of sand, to give you little tiny scratches that over time could get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So having an invisible shield, that's the one that needs a spray, or an anti-glare screen protector can really save you. It depends on how good you treat your stuff.
And how long you plan to keep it. If you're a person that rolls it over once a year, it's not as big a deal as somebody that wants to keep that phone for 3 years.
Yeah, or, I've got kids, so everything I've got has a screen protector, because you never know.
You do never know. Yes. Okay, what's up next?
The stands for keeping it up and holding it in your car. There's a newer stand from a company with a funny name called Cribbit. That's Canadian guys. They're based out of Vancouver, and they make a stand that you can adjust to fit many different tablets, anything bigger than about a 5-inch size. So it fits all of the different 7-inch, 10-inch, 11-inch, 12-inch tablets.
And how do you spell Cribbit?
K-R-I-B-B-I-T-T.
Okay.
If you go to nerdblog.londondrugs.com, we've got a blog there with the YouTube video explaining it and showing you the shape. It looks kind of like a foam-covered pretzel.
Yeah.
So the first time I saw it, I thought it looked kind of goofy. But after watching some of the videos about how it works, it basically has a hinge on the back that lets you bend the arms back and forth. So you can put it on your lap. You can put it on any surface in your house, like a leather footstool, granite countertop, and it won't slide away, because that's one of the problems with the the flip stands, is that you put it on a shiny surface that's just going to slip off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Cribbit really grips it there. really good too for putting it on your lap, or it's used in places where people have mobility issues with different disabilities, because it really can keep the tablet in place. I really like that it can wrap right around the back of a seat.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch a movie on your tablet in the back seat, and they're $40, they're $39.99, so they're not a high-priced accessory.
Cool.
Great stand for the money from Cribbit.
Good. And you have one more for me?
The last one was supposed to be the screen protectors, but I'll throw in a little bonus. The last one would be batteries to give you external charging, because I don't know if you're like me, but your phone won't last a day, and there's a lot of different battery options available for starting at around $25 these days to give you charging in your pocket without having to plug in the walls. So it's a good idea to check those out.
Okay. Julian Sanders, all of this can be found at London Drugs, or we'll also post the link to the Nerd Blog where you can read about the Cribbit flexible stand. Thanks so much, Julian.
Thanks.
Joining me online now from Toronto, suffering with a cold because he's been crisscrossing the country like crazy, is Philip Lozier. How are you doing, Philip?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for having me today.
Good. Philip is the director of the Business Solutions Group for Samsung. And last week, you hosted an event at Riverside Secondary School here in Port Coquitlam, which was pretty interesting. The folks at Samsung have a smart school initiative where they're looking at what's happening in education and how the different technologies can fit into the burgeoning world of education. And you folks showed us your smart classroom setup based on your Galaxy tablets, which was a pretty compelling story was told.
Yes, we we're really pleased with the outcome, and the whole intent of Samsung School is to deliver a more integrated solution both for the teachers and for the students. And what we're really after is to raise the level of engagement, make it more interesting and compelling for the students, allow the teachers to deliver the message in a cleaner fashion. And really, it's about the students. So we were really pleased to see the outcome of the trial thus far.
So you've been, for this school year, you've been trying out a series of Galaxy tablets and some supporting software and other hardware in Riverside Secondary, was it physics 11 course, right?
Yes, physics class.
Yeah, I glaze over as soon as they start talking mass and inertia and momentum.
Yes, indeed, it was a physics class, grade 11 specifically.
And so the teacher there has been working with it for a little while. So talk us through the basic pieces of the system.
So the basic components really are, as you've mentioned, the Galaxy Note 10.1 tab, which is really at the heart of the solution. We also have a 65-inch e-board in the classroom. And what really makes it all pulls it all together is the Samsung School software. So the Samsung School software sits both on the teacher's tab and on the student's tabs. So when they enter the classroom, they're actually controlled by the teacher's tab, if you will. So in other words, the Note 10.1 can really behave in two fashions. Outside of the classroom, it's a standard tablet. And when the student is in the classroom, teacher has full control over the classroom environment. So the beauty of that is teacher can push out content directly to each of the tabs. She can screen share, he or she can screen share with the students, so she can see what's going on their individual tabs, and she can push what's happening on her tab to the students. Students can also screen share between themselves. So it's that real collaborative effort that I think is a turning point as far as digital classrooms are concerned. So those, in essence, are the key components. So all of it wrapped into a learning management system and also an interactive management system. So the teacher can both set classroom timelines and really pull content from a number of different sources and automatically push that out to each of the students' devices.
And so this is where the tablet, it's really in the interaction between the teacher's tablet and the student's tablet that we see some unique learning opportunities. Because, as you say, the teacher can pull from the student's tablet. So she can look at what they're doing. She can look at and see where they're having trouble. If they're working on calculations, she can see where the issues are. She can also invite them to present and kind of work through it. You know, how we used to get called up to the chalkboard. Now students can do that without leaving their desk. They can, their screen can be presented to the entire classroom for presentation or to do work. The fact that the teacher can have direct access to what the student's working on creates some unique support and learning opportunities where they could privately communicate with a student without embarrassing them or without, you know, without calling what they're doing or interrupting the whole class to support a single individual student.
Exactly. It's a very non-obtrusive way to deliver what is generically defined as one-to-one learning. So the teacher can automatically see just by glancing at the thumbnails on her tab if a specific student is struggling with a specific problem, or if a student, say, at the back of the class is starting to fall behind. She can, in a very inconspicuous fashion, send a note to that student's tab and actually provide some one-on-one instructions without marching to the back of the class, isolating the student, everyone turns around. So it's done in a very, very simple fashion. And what we've noticed as well is students will start to collaborate amongst themselves. So it's no longer just teacher having to, you know, direct the entire show. Students will actually work in groups and collaborate between themselves. So it's a different way of delivering a learning experience, if you will.
Now, you've based this all on the Android operating system. Why did you guys go with Android for this?
Well, again, the popularity of Android in the marketplace, I think, speaks for itself. We're seeing a majority of devices in the marketplace run Android. It just makes perfect sense for us as well. We could at one point expand to Windows 8 if we think there's a market need for it. And also the price point of Android devices tend to be a little bit more aggressive. So it gives you a wider choice, and it's an operating system that students, for the most part, are very comfortable with.
Now, this is not for the faint of heart as far as processing power. You're using your Galaxy 10-1 tablets for a reason, because you require some serious horsepower being thrown at this solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the Note 10.1 has a quad-core processor, and the screen sharing functions, which are quite unique from a tablet perspective, do require a lot of horsepower. So in order to drive that higher-end functionality, you do need a tab that's got a lot of guts on it.
And that's the downside of the equation. I mean, the benefits are obvious as far as the collaboration, all that sort of thing. But we are going to have minimum hardware requirements where this can't become a solution where any tablet will do.
Right. So for the present case, we only have one version of Samsung School, which does require that quad-core, you know, heavy-duty tablet processor built in. At some point, we may evaluate potentially having a lighter weight solution, but that would probably take away from the overall impact. So it's a bit of a trade-off between, you know, having full impact and, you know, the requirement to have a more powerful device in the classroom, which the students totally eat up.
And I think one thing which we should point out, which does make a big difference, at least as far as I'm concerned, is the Samsung School software, and correct me if I'm phrasing this wrong, but the Samsung School software just basically creates a shell that the teacher can work in. All existing apps, whatever is out there as far as learning resource apps, the teacher can install and have give their students access. So you're not always so the Samsung School is a it's almost like an operating system that you're going to work within using other apps. So you're not recreating the wheel or having to work within just one narrowly defined set of tools. Yes. Basically, all of the tools which are in the Google Play Store are available for teachers to use and to incorporate into their teaching.
You know, that's a great description, Steve, because you have access to all the functionality that Google Play allows for. You have access to any content, any URL on the internet that the teacher thinks is of value for the classroom. She can pull that down, push it out to the tablets. And all of that, as you've described, it's a shell environment, if you will. So when student enters the classroom and logs on to the Samsung School software, that environment comes under the control of the teacher, if you will, with the openness of pulling content from various sources. As soon as a student exits the classroom and switches domain, the tablet, again, in a BYOD environment or bring your own device, the tablet then behaves exactly as a personal device without any of the restrictions that you see within the classroom learning environment.
And we should add the caveat, because I know that a lot of people listening will go, wait a minute, we've got the school is providing computers with no control. The school still has the option to provide whatever barriers or whatever control they want as far as what can be installed and what can't be installed, if it is indeed their tablet. The fact is that this can also be a student's tablet that they're bringing from home, which is put back into their native mode, which is really kind of what you guys are doing with Knox and the business side with your phones, right?
You know, that's a great analogy, because Knox being the point of, the Knox solution really allows for a dual persona. So from a business perspective, your phone would work in both business mode and personal mode. with neither mode encroaching on each other. In this case, the beauty of Samsung School is the tablet itself, when the student is outside the classroom, can use it as they would a normal tablet. And the beauty is also, I mean, as educators are now beginning to recognize, a lot of learning and teaching happens outside the classroom. So what is the student doing with that information when they're outside of the classroom? Do they want to share back and forth with others in the class? Do they want to look at alternative sources of information? So you really get the best, we think, of both worlds.
It's an interesting exploration that you folks have done. I'm glad that you started it on Port Coquitlam, where I could go by and take a look. I was certainly intrigued. I was very impressed with how much the students seemed to be engaged, which had to encourage you an awful lot. And of course, you had an instructor out there who totally embraced the technology and was very excited and very proud of what her class had done with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all part and parcel of the equation, having that right attitude towards education, having the right teacher, and more we're seeing teachers wanting to gravitate to that sort of a learning environment. And the students, their behavior was exemplary.
Yeah.
You can just tell, and it's not being force-fed. You can tell that they're totally absorbing the material and that they're really enjoying what they're going through.
Well, there's a lot of keys to success in the education market. Certainly how we deal with the students is one thing. Dealing with the teachers and educating them on new ways of doing things in the technology is another. Of course, providing excellent technology that works within the environment is another. You guys have managed to knock off a few of the pillars. We'll see if you've got the basis for a system that can be built out. But certainly the early results are encouraging.
No, we're really pleased. I mean, we landed on the right school. We're happy with some of the key learnings. We also have probably, I would guess, about 20 projects on a global basis. And these have all provided key learnings for us so we can fine-tune the solution and take it to market, hopefully within the first half of the year.
Where can people go online if they want to look for information about it?
Samsung.com/smartschool.
Samsung.com/smartschool. Thank you very much. This is Philip Lozier. He is the Director of Business, the Business Solutions Group at Samsung Canada. Thanks so much, Philip.
Thank you, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
It is event week here on Dottotech. We were talking about a social media camp in Victoria. Coming up in Vancouver, is it the 9th?
The 9th.
Northern Voice Conference? Is it the 9th one? That's good.
It's coming up. It's almost here.
The voice you hear is Shane Burley, one of the organizers, also in studio, Ben Abel. Ben's been with us before talking about his blog site, Vancouver Gadgets.
Hello, Steve. Hello, everyone.
Northern Voice is a blogging conference where people get together that are interested in sharing ideas, opinions, and we just talk about the social aspect of that. Am I right? That's correct.
It's really the whole kernel of the idea for the conference when it first began was blogging was very new. It was not well. It wasn't in the social consciousness of the world at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been remaining very, very dedicated to bringing new people into being able to do self-expression online.
So when you started it, were you involved from the very beginning, Shane?
I was not an organizer for the first 2 years, I think.
Okay.
But I did go. I attended the conference, and then I got involved after that.
So I'm just fascinated to go back to the beginning of it. So, because I'm trying to remember what blogging was 9-10 years ago. And I remember Blogger, the app being launched, or yeah. the online service. Was that the first blogging service that people...
No. There was one called weblog.something.com.
Okay.
It had like some weblogs.something. Anyway, but basically it was the same kind of idea. And then within about a year or so that all of these other blogging platforms launched, including blogger.com.
Okay.
And then they basically all died, really, more or less.
Except
Google made blogger.com survive. I mean, their acquisition there was genius because it's, you know, look where it's coming today.
Yes. So. And then WordPress came along, and all of a sudden, and people started figuring out that blogging, the whole idea, I guess, behind blogging is constantly updating the information on your website.
Yeah.
So this, and it became the modern news cycle.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in the day, I'm sure radio still, they talk about the wheel. They talk about, you know, how they do the news, sports,
yeah,
weather. That's what the blogging's become. It's become the wheel of communications.
It has. It's really found itself now, I think. Back then, I still think of blogging for about the first 5 or 6 years as being like the Wild West, because You had the battle that became very much in everyone's mind. The most important piece was journalism versus bloggers, essentially. Or they call it citizen journalism at the time. I don't know if they still use that
today. I don't know if they do, actually. That's a good question.
I can't recall if they do anymore. But because even at Northern Voice, we've had panels that have had that argument, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on about, you know, bloggers don't have training and blah, 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 blah. But then, of course, you know, now CBC has how many blogs just by itself?
I'm trying to think of a major media web property that's not a blog. I mean, you look at TSN,
that's true.
A blog.
Yeah.
You look at CBC. Anything that has rotating information on the front page, you know, constantly updated, constantly refreshed, that's a blog.
Yeah.
That's what we deal with today. It's become, and not only is it just on websites and on people's personal sites like WordPress sites, but we now see multiple platforms. We see, obviously Twitter is considered to be a microblog, but even people's Facebook status updates, that's a blog.
Sure,
LinkedIn status update. Yeah. That's a blog. So these are all different ways that we are blogging. So are you guys in your conference going to be covering all of these various forms, or do you try and stay kind of tried and true to the traditional posted blog?
No,
format?
No, we do branch out and everything. And actually, I remember the first time because Twitter started, I think,
2007 seems about right. 2006.
Well, my first tweet was November 11th, 2006.
The day after my birthday.
He knows the date.
So I know, because I only looked it up the other day, because I was shocked to find that you can't go back into the history anymore. You have to actually
use some alternative
service to dig into it. But anyway, the whole evolution of the conference has kind of brought those new technologies in every, you know, whenever they become popular. Like when Facebook started, it
took over the conference.
Exactly, pretty much.
It became a Facebook conference.
Yeah, exactly. For about two or three panels and talks that year, it was all about Facebook. And, I mean, Pinterest. Last year was Pinterest.
Yes.
Pinterest was a year. Like, there was three things, I think.
Yeah, goodness.
There were three things on Pinterest last year.
Yeah, don't tell me it's going to be Google Plus this year, because I still don't get it. I'm sorry. I still don't get it.
We have to vet the talks and see.
Well, exactly.
You know, see who's submitted what. I mean, you know.
Yeah, now, we should talk about that. This is really a grassroots conference. You folks, as the conference organizers, do not overtly set the agenda. You reactively set the agenda, because now you're accepting submissions for talks.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there listening has something that they'd like to say about the world of social media blogging, they have an opinion, they have a take, they have something that they want to say, they should go to northernvoice.ca and submit a application to be a speaker.
That's correct, yeah.
Because for three more days, you're accepting applications, and then you guys are going to filter through them all, and you're going to decide. And it's based on the submissions that your agenda is going to be formed.
Yeah, we try and kind of massage and love the list that we get. And if we find holes, we actually do request, you know, people like that we already have, you know, that have already spoken in past years, or we know them.
So you'll fill in the gaps.
Yeah, it's like, we haven't talked about this year, so let's call up so-and-so and whatnot. But essentially, the you know, 99% of it is what we get every year, because that seems to be, that keeps the conference up to date, in my opinion.
I think so. I actually didn't come to the conference until 2011, strictly as a participant. Steve and Shane is aware, and you know, I sort of got into blogging with Vancouver Gadgets that year, earlier in 2011. Soon after, I thought, you know, I should join the organizing committee for this event, because I have stuff to contribute, and it's mushroomed into, you know, working with Shane on the event yearly for me. And you're right. It's really interesting with blogging. I always kind of come from a traditional corporate communications background myself. I always view Northern Voice and blogging as the personal kind of touch, a little more on the opinion and editorial side. And we at Northern Voice try to, you know, as somebody who's helping do the marketing, we get all kinds of different people wanting to come in and speak and present. And it's a personal blogging and social media conference, but you're going to meet people there from all walks of life, and with all different kinds of ideas about what you can do with blogging and your online presence.
And that's a big part of any of these conferences, is not so much just the content, but it's the networking opportunities, seeing who's doing other things. How much of it's technical and how much of it's philosophical? If I'm struggling with my WordPress site, is this a place that I'm going to learn some skills and techniques to make it cleaner, more efficient, better searchable?
Well, actually, every year we do try and have a help desk that's actually out by the registration area that basically says blog help. So we throw up logos of different products that are out there and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we get some really cool people that just basically sit there for the entire time and Ask, they basically help, answer
help
whatever questions.
Help me troubleshoot why my slider's not working.
Pretty much, yeah. They would actually do that. Yeah, and that's kind of a nice thing, because that we started that about 4 years ago, and because generally it was not really organized, there were just kind of people wandering around that you had to chase after and grab me. Like, I hear you like to do this, and you're an expert in that.
Yeah.
And actually formalizing it into a help desk has actually been very successful.
You've had some, I mean, in 9 years of history, you've had some pretty impressive speakers, some great musicians. You've had a pretty compelling list.
Yeah, it's been all over the place. And it's kind of amazing that our little conference, because I still call it the little conference that just kind of has been there for a long time and just kind of sticks to its goals and moves forward. And then we get emails out of the blue of like, yeah, Joe Blow saw blah, 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 blah speak, and he was on a video of a conference from 3 years ago, and he wants to come talk. And
like people like Robert Scobler and stuff like that?
Robert Scobler was there for the first 3 years, 2 years, something like that, yeah, and he spoke in the first year.
Well, and these conferences, they've gone in a variety of different directions, you know, to the massive, you know, the South by Southwests of the world. Mm-hmm. And now, what sort of, your location's changed, and are the numbers changing as well? So you were, last year, you were down at the,
That W2,
in the
east side there, yeah.
Yeah, which is a very interesting public space, which has fallen into some, as far as the city of Vancouver is concerned.
Interesting challenges, let's put it that way.
It was a not-for-profit that was running it, and they fell behind with the city, and so they've been closed down, unfortunately. So
a
lot of the social media stuff was focused on there, so it was a cool space for that.
Yeah, actually, I found out about the closure on Twitter, because I happen to know somebody who works in the building right above, and they were going to work that morning at about 8:30, and they walked by all these very unhappy looking people, and she asked them who they were, and they're like, oh, we've been locked out. And I saw this tweet go out, and then she sent me a direct message on Twitter saying, hey, did you see my tweet? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it happened so fast, and I hope it wasn't because of us, really. I mean, honestly,
I don't think it was.
I'm sure that we
us.
Had nothing to do with
it. I think we were well behaved.
So what's the next building you're going to close down? So since the W-2 is not available to you, you've moved it to the...
Well, we've been trying to... for the last couple of years, we generally have done it out at UBC until last year. And we kind of wanted to bring it back downtown, because we started in the UBC Robson Square.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately...
Isn't available for this sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And it... just really, it also, we outgrew it, and we used to have the conference in February, and that was okay for that. But anyway, so we now have moved to H.R. Macmillan,
okay.
The Space Center, as well as the next door is the Museum of Vancouver.
Yes.
And we're sharing space between the two places to make it kind of cool. And we're excited about it, because it's inside, but there's also a lot of outside space. It'll be June in theory, nice weather and that kind of thing. So I think it's pretty cool.
So in the conference itself is in not until June.
That's correct.
But you can't even register for it yet, because you haven't even set the price yet, have you?
No, we have not set the price yet, because
Jiminy kids.
Three more days.
Press marketers.
Two more days.
Oh, you wait until all of the submissions are in. Then if you have some great speaker, you're going to charge more.
That's right. It's going to be at least $300 or $400 this year. I don't know. It actually comes down to what the cost of the venue is.
So once you figure out your agenda, then you figure out how much it costs, because it's not really a big profit center as far as that goes.
We've always been dedicated to keeping it less than $100, because every other conference out there, $400 or $500, $1,200, and I always am weirded out by those prices. But again, they're based on where they are, and they have a lot of space. And we try and keep our conference small, because we want it to be very personal, because that's what it's about. And we base the price based on where we can get into.
So about 250 or 300 of your best friends and bloggers are going to be convening on the H.R. Macmillan Planetarium in mid-June. If you are interested in speaking at Northern Voice, by all means, drop to northernvoice.ca now and fill out an application to speak. And then perhaps you can make it that much better a conference to push them over that magic $100 mark.
I'll call George Clooney right now.
There we go. If you're looking for Shane's blog, it's at shanesworld.ca.
That's correct.
.ca. And Ben's blog is vancouvergadgets.ca.
Thanks, Steve.
As well.
Yep.
And both fine and sites that I regularly visit. I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna spend a lot of time down there this year. I went to the first one last year. I thoroughly enjoyed it, so I plan to hang out a fair bit there.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you.
Thanks for having us.
DottoTech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for DottoTech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. DottoTech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Darcy LaRocque joins me now. Darcy is she's a presenter that works with us on our Protectivity workshops, but you've got your own little workshop happening, Darcy.
I do. I'm very excited about this one.
So what's happening?
So it's a half-day workshop on iPad and iPhone because they actually have the same operating system, so
yes.
Either can attend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 9 until 12 on the 26th.
The 26th of this month. And whereabouts is it going to happen?
Oh, we have an awesome spot. REMAX on 7th Avenue has a training location that I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have up to 30 people. We're about a third full right now, so we've got to get people to jump on the bandwagon.
Oh, good.
But it's right at 7th and Hemlock.
Oh, nice. It's a good location.
Yeah, it's a great...
And people can find information at swirlsolutions.com, which is your website. But tell me in a nutshell, is this for beginners? Is this for like, I just bought an iPhone and I don't know what to do with it, or is it for more intermediate?
It would be really beginner to intermediate. Anyone advanced, maybe not, but we're really going to go over, you know, as long as I think the goal is, as long as you get, you know, 3, 4, or 5 things out of a half-day workshop, we're golden. But we're really going to go over a lot of things about iTunes and apps and how to set up email. There's awesome tips we'll go over if you're a Gmail user that a lot of people don't know. Some phone tips. My favorite, as you probably know, are about the cost-saving tips. So there's some mm-hmm. things that people should know before they travel if mm-hmm. they have a device that they take with them too. Well, I just got back from sunny Mexico, so for wherever you go.
So you're not going to have a huge bill, are you?
I am not, but I know that some people will. I actually met some people on the beach. I said, oh, my gosh, you got to do this. Please change these settings and next time do this, because super important to know. So there'll be a whole section on that, and then we'll talk about some business apps to keep people productive as well.
Now, one thing I think that when people do set up their phone or their iPad for the first time, and your initial setup is so important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the thing is, it's one thing to set it up right, mm-hmm. and there's another thing to set it up so it works, but it's not set up right, so then you have issues downstream.
Which most people do.
What's the biggest mistake people make when they're setting up their phone or iPad?
Sometimes it's actually setting up iCloud incorrectly, and you start getting duplicates of things like contacts and things like that. Now, some of these things we'll go over in the session, but some things we really have to figure out, how did they set it up? I really don't think I know right now all the people in the session aren't brand new users. They already have their iPhones and iPads for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But so getting those first-time users, people who are listening who are just going to get one, setting it up is so important. You're so right, because you can, especially like I was saying, that Gmail, the Gmail setup, you know, you need to set it up as an Exchange account, not the Gmail link, to make things work. How would you know that?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that, right? So we'll give lots of tips like that tomorrow, but most people actually have set it up prior to the workshop.
And so and with this sort of a workshop, you bring your device and you sit there and you're actually doing the same, you're mimicking what you're doing up as the presenter. The people are actually able to do that on their devices at that time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything's hands-on, which is the way I love to train. So mm-hmm. we will be going through... you know, great tips about shortcuts and how to actually add a shortcut. So if you've got a saying you say all the time, you can actually add it in and make a little acronym, so then you don't have to keep typing the same words over and over, mm-hmm. same sentences over and over. We're going to show people how to use that, how to use Siri properly.
Yeah, how do you use Siri properly?
You come on Friday, next Friday.
I do pretty good with Siri. I do pretty good with Siri, but I'm not sure I use her.
No, you do.
And I don't even know if I want to call her a her. But I use, and calling it an it seems so... non-respective. Respectful.
I think they call her a her, but I'm not sure why. Siri sounds like a girl's name.
Well, Siri, but it is a girl's voice as it talks to me. It's a girl's voice. Okay, so and what's the cost of your workshop?
So this particular workshop, because I'm piloting it a new way of actually doing this training, and we're adding some new content, so I just wanted to kind of do it in front of a live audience, and we rarely do public workshops like mm-hmm. this. So normally when we do training like this, it's $299
mm-hmm.
for a half-day session.
Yep.
And this is only $49.
Such a deal. $49.
$49.
You normally charge $300 for a half-day?
You bet.
You rock.
It's a lot of work putting these things together.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. But this is all you by yourself. You're presenting. You're doing all the work here.
I am doing everything on that session. You bet.
So it's on the 26th. It's a half day workshop down at the REMAX office. Your room will seat 30, and you've got about 10 people booked so far. If you want to learn iPad and iPhone, the basis of the operating system, setting it up and the basis of making sure that you start out on the right foot or get on the right foot if you're already off the right foot, this is the workshop for you.
I think so. If you're already using it, we want you there because we want you to set it up or to actually know how to use it more productively. And, of course, we're going to talk about all those cool business apps and cost-saving tips, which everybody needs to know.
The cost-saving tips alone are worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Swirl Solutions is swirlsolutions.com is the site to go to for more information. Thanks, Darcy.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
And that is all the time that we have for this week's show, Art. Reminders, next week, what is it?
Beer and wings night.
After App Wednesday.
After Wednesday.
You're going to hope to win App Wednesday. And we're going to get, maybe somebody's going to tweet me a killer app that's just going to knock you out of the ballpark.
No.
Beer and wings night, check out the Dotto Tech site, sign up, and you can also, don't forget to register to win a copy of Microsoft 365. I have to thank all of our guests for joining us, and we will see you next week right here for more Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.